Welcome back to the 312 Show. I'm your host, Ollie Katz, here alongside Zach Shoshua. We have a great episode in store for you guys. We have special guest Adam Eberhardt on today. But Zach, first, before we get into that, let's hear the news.
Yeah, so first off, the NBA is allowing teams to open practice facilities on May 1st. So that's a positive if you're looking forward to the NBA season, the playoffs, you know. Secondly, Ollie, we texted about this thing. You sent it to me on Instagram. It's a picture that Complex posted on April 23rd showing the change in Los Angeles pollution from September 2018 to April 2020. Go check out that picture for those of you listening. The picture is amazing.
So that particular day, April 23rd, I remember it being a cloudy, like, I think it was a Thursday, a cloudy Thursday, and, you know, I was really feeling, you know, the coronavirus that day for some reason. Like, I was just feeling cooped up in my own house, you know, feeling kind of unmotivated and kind of hopeless, to be honest, and seeing that. We talk about good news on here and the power of good news, how much negativity there is in the news these days, and it was just a breath of fresh air, which felt really nice.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I mean, just to see how, even though quarantine, it sucks, but there's some benefits to it. I mean, it clears the sky, and you can see it, and that picture is really great.
Yeah, absolutely.
In other news, the NFL draft, the first ever NFL online draft. There were some winners and losers in the draft. We're going to do a quick recap of it. Ollie, what were your first thoughts on this year's NFL draft?
Well, as a Browns fan, I'm really happy with the way we drafted. Obviously, you know, a guy like Jedrick Wills fits our needs perfectly. And I was overall happy with the way we picked. I think that, you know, the first 10 picks were kind of, you know, a given. And I think that there was very few guys that, you know, in the first 10 picks that I didn't see going. But after that, the draft was wide open. And I think that, you know, guys like Jalen Hurts falling to the second round, you know, he's a Heisman finalist. And so that was really unexpected. Obviously, the Green Bay Packers taking a chance on Jordan Love as a backup quarterback was an eye-opener.
As a Bears fan,
as
I
an
love
NFC
it.
North,
dumb
yeah,
pick.
Exactly, exactly. As an NFC North fan, you gotta love that one. What about you? What are you thinking about it?
Well, as a Bears fan, and most of you guys listening, I mean, not a good draft. We did not need a tight end. Cole Kmet, I know you went to St. Viator. You know, Chicago kid, went to Notre Dame, but, you know, we don't need a tight end. We just paid Jimmy Graham the big bucks. We don't, wasn't pressing need. Cornerback Jalen Johnson, he's a great player, but he was only up on the board because he had been dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what they were doing. I think they should have gotten some O-linemen to protect the quarterback, whoever it may be. But, you know, maybe it will work out.
We're gonna be going into detail on the NFL draft in a very near future episode. As it was a very eventful draft. I'm, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff that happened.
I love seeing the players' homes on the couches. That was funny.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. This was, yeah. I saw this thing. This was the most viewed draft ever.
Really?
And it wasn't even in person, yeah. It was something like 55 million total viewers.
I wonder how many of those 55, or how many of those viewers stopped watching after the first 5 picks. Because I'm always out of there after like the first 5 to 10 picks.
Yeah, I watch the Browns pick, and usually they're pretty high up there, and then I'm out of there. But I actually followed it pretty well this year because I followed college football a lot. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for the news. Let's get into this. We got a special guest on today. The drummer of my personal band, The Brand New Shoes. We got Adam Eberhardt here today on the show. Adam, say what's up.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Ad, you want to plug your Instagram?
Yeah, it's just at Adam.Eberhardt.
There you heard it here first. Adam.Eberhardt on Instagram. While you're there, go give us a follow at The312Show on Instagram. Would really be very important to us.
We are also now on Spotify, soon to be on Apple Podcasts. Tune in for that. Google Podcasts. So give us a follow there. Listen there. Big support.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into this. Adam, you are obviously the drummer, an original member of the band The Brand New Shoes. And talk to us a little bit, just to preface what we're about to talk about. Talk about just kind of preview your personal love of music for us a little bit.
Well, you know, I've always loved listening to music, but I didn't really get into rock and roll till like fourth or fifth grade. And then I listened to a lot of Bowie. And then in fifth grade, I started listening to a lot of Zeppelin. And then I got into the Stones. And from then on, I've been listening to them and just branching out to a lot of different subgenres of rock. And yeah.
So let me ask you this. Who are your personal favorite bands?
Gotta go with the Stones. They're probably my favorite. I'm really into the Hold Steady right now, as is everyone pretty much in the Brand New Shoes.
Absolutely.
I listen to a lot of Neil Young, a lot of Stevie Wonder. I've gotten pretty into hardcore, which is like a subgenre of punk.
What bands you like?
What bands
you like?
I'm into Fugazi, Black Flag, Minor Threat, those types of bands.
Good stuff, good stuff. What about, like, you listen to any hip-hop, any pop?
I don't listen to that many, like, new popular artists. I listen to hip-hop sometimes, but it's not, it's usually stuff from, like, the 90s or early 2000s.
Got it. All right. All right, let's get into this.
Yeah, I got some questions that I have for the both of you. So, you guys have an album
out on all streaming platforms.
So, Adam, I want you to go first. Ollie, you could follow. Take me through the whole process of recording an album in a studio, because I don't think many of us know how that works. Just take us through the process. Yeah.
Well, for us, it was really exciting because we really wanted to release music, show the world what we got. So we were all really excited to get in. And so it was a lot slower, like a lot slower process than I thought. So you get in and you got to spend like an hour or two getting all the sounds right. And you got to make sure there's no like bleeding on any of the mics. So it's got to be like very isolated. So every sound is by itself almost. And it just takes a long time. But once you start playing, then it gets fun. And then you gotta add like all the other stuff. And it takes like a day to just get the base of the songs down.
Wow. So it's stressful. Stressful process.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot. Pays off, though.
I think you said it very well. I'm going to follow this up. You use the word fun to describe the process, and that it is. You know, obviously, it's a very tedious task, right? You have to get everything perfect. Yeah, you got to be perfectly in sync with one another. You got to be perfectly in tune for every take, every channel that's going into, you know, the computer system has to be, you know, the mic has to be individually perfect, has to sound amazing. It's got to be, you know, in the right location in the room. You know, all these little details come down to, you know, the final product of your sound. We had the pleasure of working with an amazing producer and mentor, Will Thalen, who took us through the entire recording process. He recorded our album for us, and it was really fun. You know, when you're not recording, you're just, you know, sitting while your buddies are playing and you're just fooling around, you know, and building bonds with the band. And it was really fun. You know, a lot of antics came up in the recording studio when you're trying to nail down a track, you know?
Yeah, the part that was the worst for me was I started getting, like, so sick of the songs. Because it's just on loop.
And yeah, you gotta play
it. Yeah. Things just start sounding not right. But then once you give it a little while, you realize that it doesn't sound terrible.
You like listening to yourself?
Sometimes. I like watching the show videos.
There you go. Yeah, those are fun. Those are fun. Here's the thing about recording. Okay, to all you guys out there, recording, you know, you see it as, you know, you're in there and you're just, you know, singing to a track, you know, and that is very much not the case when you're recording rock and roll music. For that, it's every instrument has to be layered on top of one another, and it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. You're sitting in the studio for 10 hours a day. You know, and it's very slow and sometimes very ungratifying because you're sitting for 10 hours and you only get done a few of the backing tracks, you know, and recording an 8-song album that's going to be eventually released on all streaming platforms is not an easy task. And so I want you to talk to me and Zach and, you know, all the fans about when you're personally recording, do you find... You know, do you learn anything about yourself?
Sometimes I realize more about my playing. Like, most of the time when we're playing live or just practicing, I, like, start to realize... Or when we're practicing, I'm more paying attention to you guys. And when you're recording, I start realizing little things that maybe I do too much. And it'll sound like kind of overwhelming. And then I start to fix it. I don't know. It's just, it's a very, very different experience.
You got to be well practiced to go into the studio.
Yeah.
Speaking of well practiced, obviously to prepare for a show, a lot of practice goes into that. A lot of, you know, you got to nail it all down. Because once you're in the show, you can't, there's no do-over, you know? So kind of take me through pre-show. Do you guys do any, like, last-minute kind of adjustments, anything like that? I want to hear about that.
We try to have band practice that day, the day of the show, just to get any last-minute thing, like, last-minute practice, just to make sure everything's going to run smoothly. And then for the rest of the day, we just kind of chill.
We're always together during gun show day.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we all wake up early. We go over to Adam's, practice a little bit, and then we're just together. We ride to the show together. You know, the gear goes separately, and we all ride in a car together, and the gear goes in another car. And we just like to be together, like to laugh. You know, just be with each other pre-show. You know, we got a lot of funny backstage antics that we'll get into, but as far as just preparing goes, we like to be together, like on the day of the show. And before that, we usually like to write our set lists probably 3 weeks before the show. If we're going on a little bit of a stretch, then we'll write them all at once and practice them individually, but... if we're just playing a lone show, we'll write it about 3 weeks before and then really practice that up. You know, practice multiple times a week. Just really getting in sync with one another. That's the hardest part.
Just right. Making sure you don't have to worry about anything while you're up there. Just play what you know.
Yeah, so you're just there and you're just doing it like you're practicing it again, you know?
Exactly. 100%. All right, so Adam, let's take everybody through the process from show day, morning till night. Let's take everybody through that because I'm sure people will want to hear how that process works. So you started off.
So most of the time, I feel like we always hang out the day before the show. I don't know. I always feel like we're together the whole time, like the whole day, pretty much. And then we usually have band practice pretty early in the day.
What time would you say, like 11?
Yeah, 11-ish.
We're usually all at your house at 11.
Yeah, yeah. And then we practice a set once, maybe twice. And then we chill, listen to some music. We play this game with a balloon. We call it Australian volleyball. And it's pretty much like...
It was invented in the recording studio, right?
Yeah, maybe. It was perfected in the recording studio.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But it's pretty much tips with like a balloon and you kind of spike it at each other.
And it's really fun.
It's really stupid, but super fun.
There we go.
And it just lets us...
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Got a next ESPN The Ocho event.
So then at around... So if we go on at around 8:30, let's say, at around 2, we'll begin to pack our stuff. And we are probably the most organized rock and roll band there is. We actually, prior to the show, make an in-depth list of everything we need for the show. And so down to the T. So everything when we're packing, we never miss anything. We never forget. And so that takes a bunch of time, and we really just go through that and nail that down one by one. Everybody packs each other up right before we leave. Then we load the gear up into one vehicle, and we get into another, and we go to the show. We like to arrive at the show early to, you know, get set up on stage and also have a lot of time backstage to chill out as well as, you know, maybe talk to some people. I know, Zach, you were backstage at one of our shows.
Yes,
just
was.
Chilling out with us before. Was that a fun experience for you? Tell everyone about what it's like to be backstage with us.
What was so amazing about it was that you guys were about to go perform in front of a bunch of people, in front of a bunch of adults, you know, and you guys were just so relaxed. It was just relaxed, and it was like you've been there, like, as teenagers, obviously. It's very, very different than when you're, like, a big rock star, but you guys were very relaxed, you know, like, just going out, doing your thing, getting home. And I think that was the best part, that it was just, like, we weren't even talking about the show. We were just talking about, you know, life. Just, there was no preparing. It was just as if you guys knew what you were doing already, and that was it.
That's what we like to do. Just sit there, talk about whatever, you know. Don't talk about the show. It's very relaxed before the show. We're just getting in the zone, you know?
Yeah. Just have a laugh before the show. Just
exactly.
Chill out.
So then, you know, we go on from backstage. We like to just hang out backstage. Obviously play Australian rules volleyball backstage. Hang out, talk, usually sit around. There's usually some couches backstage. It's nothing major. Go on, you play, then you pack out. You pack up your dressing room and you go. You go home. And a memorable experience, actually, after some shows, we usually go out to eat just as a band together. And it's just really fun. The vibes are super good. We're all real proud of each other because, you know, we just killed it at the show. And you know, it's just really relaxed the whole time. Nobody, you know, stresses out. Nobody's nervous for the shows, and it's really good. That has changed. The first few shows we played, we were all super nervous. We originally formed in 2015. I think we were like 9 or 10. And I remember playing our first, like, real show. And we were all just like, oh, my God, like, we were sitting backstage right before we were going to go on, and it was just the opposite of what we do, you know?
It was a two-song set, too. It was like,
yeah,
at a recital, it was really, like, nothing, but we were all really stressed out.
Yeah. Very different. we don't really eat before. Usually we just get a case of water, and everybody hydrates up really good. But usually the eating comes after. And it's just really relaxed, and it's really fun, and it's so fun to play.
It's just a great feeling, like, after. I don't say you don't have to worry about it after, but, like, when you have a show, you think about it a lot before. It's like, and when, like, the week of that show, it's just all that's in your head. And exactly. So after, it's just nice to just let it out. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, you're planning for this thing. It's like you're taking a test. It's like after you take the test, you're just relaxed.
But, I mean, you saw it. The nerves come, you know, way before the show. When you're sitting backstage, you know, an hour before you go on, there's no nerves, at least when it comes to us. The nerves all come the week before when you're laying in bed just thinking. But when you're actually in the moment and you're sitting back there with the boys, and, you know, it was awesome to have you guys backstage that one night. It was a great show, and, you know, it was just fun. It's fun.
So I have a question about one of the songs. So this seems to be your most popular one. You just made a music video about it, Bottled Up and Comatose. Ollie, what the hell does that mean? I have no idea. You gotta explain to me what that means.
So when we were had the idea to make the music video about it, it had came to our attention. I believe it was Elijah who proposed it, and he was like, the song is really about, you know, being, it literally says in the title, just bottled up. And, you know, the word comatose means like a state of mental nothingness. And we thought it was a fitting song, because the song is just about, you know, reminiscing on, you know, the current day and how times have changed. And, you know, the central figure of the song feels as though they're trapped in the new age, and all they want to do is be set free. And that's what we say in the chorus. And so we thought it was really fitting to do that, especially in this time with the whole coronavirus thing going on. And the words, I think, you know, say it beautifully, and, you know, they say what we're all thinking. We're all trapped in our houses and waiting to be set free.
And it's not just the chorus, too. It's like, even the verse, it's like strangely relevant to what's going on right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that whole process was super fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the process. Like, take us through the whole... If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's on YouTube, Instagram. I'm sure you've seen it. Take us through the whole process of creating a music video. Obviously, this one's not your traditional one because you did it from your houses, obviously. But take us through the process of making a music video like that.
Well, with this one, we really just kind of filmed ourselves playing along to the track. I had no idea that it was gonna, like, turn out like that.
Yeah.
All the other shots of, like, Chicago. And it was really cool, like, when it first came out.
So you didn't see it before it came out.
Well, I saw it, like, a few days before.
Right, yeah.
But what had happened was we had all gotten on a Zoom call one day, the whole band. And Elijah's parents are both professional editors. His dad is actually an Oscar-nominated editor for a documentary called Abacus, Small Enough to Jail. Fantastic. You guys should all check it out. But they are both fantastic editors. And so what we did was we got on, like, a Zoom call, and we were like, it'd be a great thing to update the fans, you know, what we're doing. And, you know, the most proper song to do that is Bottled Up. And we thought that, you know, we should really use it as a chance to show how, you know, all these music venues that we've played at around town are, you know, closing down for now, and, you know, how everybody else is dealing with it. And we decided to, for the videos of us playing, have us in confined, like, home-like spaces in order to demonstrate that exactly. And so what they were like was, you know, we need to do something to be of service to the world right now, and this was the best way we could, and it really turned out awesome.
Is it weird seeing yourself on a video like that? Is it, because I mean, you see these famous rock stars and any artist like in a music video. Is it like crazy? Is it like awesome that you get to see yourself in an actual music video playing your own music?
I'm really happy with how it turned out.
I hadn't really thought about it like that. It didn't feel like that to me, but it's an interesting point.
I mean, the video is great. It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot. We're really proud of it. Here is my best answer for your question, Zach. When we first dropped our album on Spotify or Apple Music, or wherever you get your albums, I was so used to hearing other voices on there. Because, you know, I'm a lover of listening to music. And listening to us play on my phone was a surreal experience. I'm not going to lie. It was so weird. Because it's like, oh my God, I play this song a million times. You know, we've played it a million times in the recording studio, and you never expect it to be, you know, a real thing. You know, if you look on Spotify, you know, we have the blue check mark on there. It's just, it's very surreal. You know, and I think me and Zach felt the same way when releasing our podcasts on, you know, all these bigger mediums. But it's just weird. You yourself are on something that your favorite people are on. So that's how I dealt with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
What about you?
It was different, way different for me when we released our album. It was, I'd been waiting for this for so long. And it was just great to see, like, to have people at school, like, come up and congratulate me. And I had some people come and, like, play to my ear. It was really fun the day it was released.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a few weeks later, we had an album release show at a club called Martyrs, and that was a great experience.
Yeah, that was like our first real show, pretty much. Because before we had just been playing at like kind of recitals, and we played at my elementary school, and that was like our first show. We were like the headliners almost. It was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. And it was just really fun to be in that atmosphere. I know, Zach, you were in the crowd, and a bunch of other, you know, kids our age from Land Tech and other schools were there, and it was a packed house. And it's a big club, and it was just a really great atmosphere, really nice club. Love the people over there. We should be playing again there shortly, hopefully. And it was just a great experience to be able to play your whole album, you know, when everybody's heard it on Spotify, you know.
So
that was really, really fun.
I want to stay on that show. You guys obviously came out with some merchandise. Now, how do you guys feel that, like, you walk through the hallway at school and you see someone wearing your face on a sweatshirt? Like, take me through, like, that feeling.
It feels awesome just to know that people, like, are listening to your music and like want to support you. It feels
awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we have such great supporters, you know, and there are people with us right now who are going to be with us throughout our whole entire journey as a band, you know, and we guarantee you guys that there is a lot more to come. And we thank all of you guys who have supported us in any way, that even streaming our music once. We thank you guys for being,
thank you
for being with us throughout this whole long journey, and it's just getting started. You guys best believe that we are getting better every single day. So, that being said, like, seeing somebody wearing your face on their shirt on a weekly basis is just, it's an unmatched feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good stuff.
That's great.
I'm really happy for you guys. I mean, that's amazing. Like, seeing, walking through the hallways and seeing that sweatshirt and the shirts, it's great.
I mean, you've been there since day one, too. Zach even, like, participated in a few practices.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember that practice.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I remember Adam's basement, his freaking dog wouldn't stop, you know,
yep,
barking
some
around.
Some things never change.
Going up to me.
Some things never do change. That still happens today, and we're still in the same place, just doing the same thing. Yeah.
So, as a band, you guys obviously don't just come up with the music. You guys have some influences, so talk me through, like, list some of them, some of your influences, some of the guys you look up to in the rock industry and who you try to aspire to be.
Yeah. For us, we look up to a lot of classic rock bands like The Stones, Radiohead, Neil Young, guys like that. And then I know Elijah listens to a lot of like newer indie, and he gets a lot of influence from there, which is cool to have like personal influences, you know?
Here is our Spotify bio, and I think this really well encapsulates us as a band.
Yeah.
The Brand New Shoes is a four-piece group of 14 and 15-year-old musicians that hail from Chicago, Illinois. The band consists of Ollie Katz, vocals and guitar, Elijah Farbrother, guitar, and Adam Eberhard, drums, and Andrew Condrell, bass. The Shoes write classic rock music and are inspired by the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Pink Floyd, Neil Young, Tom Petty, Neutral Milk Hotel, and Radiohead, and the Hold Steady. And I think that, you know, very well encapsulates what we stand for as a band. But then again, we have completely, you know, done our own thing. Obviously, you know, we have an alt-rock sound based with, you know, classic rock roots, but we really try and do our own thing.
Yeah. Got to put your spin on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the most important part of leading a successful band who writes their own music is having a good, you know, core roots influence list down. Because I think that every band, no matter who it is, you see all these interviews, who are you? Who do you base your music off of? And it all leads back to another generation. And I think that is the beauty of music. Music was meant to be passed down just like family heirlooms. And I think the way that music is passed down is through influence. And I think we, you know, more than, you know, just like all these other bands, are just carrying the torch of these other bands. And I think that's the true beauty.
That's very, very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said. That, you know, all musicians come from the same roots. You know, I would say every rock band is inspired by, you know, the Beatles. So, you know, you're all kind of interconnected in that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. All right, Adam. Let's steer away from music for a little bit. And you are a hockey player. Can we talk a little bit about your personal hockey career and take us through that?
Yeah, sure. I've been playing for 5 or 6 years, I think. I started out playing for the Stallions. And then after a few years, I started playing for the Wilmette Braves. And then this past year, I played at Lane Tech with the Indians.
And you guys won the championship.
Yeah, it was really fun.
What was that like?
Well, we never really expected to do that because we were okay during the regular season. And at least in our league, every team makes the playoffs. And so then we just started like beating all these teams that beat us in the regular season. And we were like, wow, we actually could do this. And so then we started getting, like, very motivated and working really hard. And then in the last game, it all came down to one goal scored in, like, the last 2 minutes.
I was there. It was insane.
Period.
Me and Elijah were there to support the Lane Tech hockey squad. And, you know, I was on edge the entire time. It was a crazy game.
Yeah, it was really fun. Great season.
All right, Adam, before we wrap this up, shed a little light to the people at home about what you've been doing to keep yourself you know, occupied during the stay-at-home order.
Yeah, so I've been playing a lot of drums, of course, to keep up and, you know, to, like, not be bored. And it passes a lot of time. It's really fun. I've been watching a lot of Breaking Bad, which is really helping pass the time. Nice. Great show. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
Me and Zach are both massive fans.
Yeah. It's amazing. I have a few episodes left in the whole show. I need to find a new show to watch. I've been FaceTiming a bunch of people just to keep in touch. And then I know next week the Brand New Shoes are going to have an outdoor practice.
Socially distant.
Socially distant, of course.
To run over some new material.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Anything else you've been watching? Anything good besides Breaking Bad?
Well, I've been watching The Last Dance. Third and fourth episodes come out tonight. I'm excited to watch. Come out in like 10 minutes.
Yep. So me and Zach, and we're both huge fans of that too. And a full debriefing episode, you know, is coming as soon as that show is over. And we are both massive fans of that. But tell us just a brief amount what you think of the first two.
It was really interesting to, like, see what they were going to, in what direction they were going to take the show. And I think they laid it out pretty well. Like, the main focus is going to be on the 97-98 season. But they're going to go back and, like, talk about Jordan's life and his whole career. And it's very entertaining.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, we had a great time recording. Thank you so much for coming on, Adam.
Thank you, guys. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for coming on. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at @the312show for updates on future episodes.
Feel free to follow the Brand New Shoes on Instagram as well.
Absolutely. While you're doing that, go follow the Brand New Shoes. That's our handle. It's just the Brand New Shoes, all one word. But thank you so much for coming on the show, Ed. We really had a great time talking about music, a little bit of hockey, and what you're doing to keep up. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been the 312 Show.